If you are just joining us this morning, I'll kind of catch you up. But we've been doing this sermon series called Never the Same. Now, we all have relationships, whether that be family, friends, coworkers. We all have relationships. And in those relationships, we all experience drama. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we have discovered that God has designed our relationships to be healthy. And so we've been using this sermon series to talk about how we can experience these relationships the way that God has intended us to experience them. So we've been using this drama triangle, what we like to call the crazy train, to identify our role in the drama, because we all participate in the drama. So we're trying to figure out our role so that we can escape this crazy train. We want to stop this train, and we want to get on God's train and do it the right way. So if you were here with us last week, Pastor Brandon, he talked about the villain and how we can experience the relationship that God has created by shifting from a villain to a challenger. And this morning, I'm going to build on that by talking about how we can shift from a hero to a coach. Now, if you were here last week and you felt like, okay, well, I identify with that villain role, and you like, okay, I got that last week, I just want to encourage you that this week is for you too, because we all go around that triangle. We all play the hero, the villain, and the victim. We just tend to gravitate to one more than the other. So I want you to tune in, because this is for you too, and I want to give you another way to escape this drama triangle. But if you would, let's go to the word. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 33, the ESV version. And you can follow along on the screen as well. But it reads, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" If I had to title this message anything, I would call it, "Even the Winds and the Waves Obey." Even the winds and the waves, they must obey. So if you would you join me as we pray before we get into the word this morning? Father, we're just so thankful that we're able to get up and we're able to be in your presence this morning. Just as the song we sang this morning, Spirit of the Living God, we want to hear your voice, and we're hanging on every single word. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and that it's not just stories that you just want us to read about, but you want us to apply them to our lives. So, Father, would you open our eyes, would you open our ears to hear exactly how you want us to apply this passage of Scripture to our daily lives? And we give you all the glory and praise for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to ask a quick question really quick. How many of you like to swim? How many of you like to swim, go to Virginia Beach? Okay, all right. I was right. Well, I don't like to get into the water, and it appears that most of my friends are the same way. And that is because, if you don't notice, I'm black, and it takes too much time to blow dry and straighten this hair back the way that it looks. It just takes too much time. All my ladies, can I get a
amen?
Thank you. All right. It takes way too much time. And so my friends, and that just tells you what kind of friends I had, they always wanted to go do something that involved water, whether that be the beach, the water park. They always wanted me to do something that involved water. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. And I'll tell you why. Because it is not worth the straightening comb, let me help you understand that. So a straightening comb is a comb that you put on the stove. It is steaming hot. And if you get in the pool and you blow dry your hair, in order to get it back straight, you got to take that straightening comb real close to your edges and get it straight, okay? And every single time, you would get burnt. Every single time. And your mom would pop you on the back of your neck to bend that hair down because you were scared every time she put the comb up there. So to me, it wasn't worth it because I can experience water in the shower. I can get in my tub and swing around. I didn't have to go through all that work to get to do all, for a few minutes of cold water. I didn't want to do that. So anyway, my friend, you know, she was like, come on, would you go with me to Virginia Beach? And I'm like, you know what? Come on, I'll go. So me and my sister, we go to Virginia Beach. And we get there, and I'm like, okay. I just remember just dipping my foot in the water. I'm like, okay, this is not bad. This is not bad. My hair is still safe. All right. And so I remember saying I'm going to go a little bit deeper. So I go in a little bit deeper. And, you know, the water was on my shoulders. I'm like, this feels good. It's hot outside. It feels great. And when all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you knew it was coming. All of a sudden, a huge wave comes out of nowhere. I had no time to ask my friend Noni, what do I do? I had no time to prepare. I had no time to think of a plan A, B, or C, or D, because normally I do. I had no time to think. The wave was here, and it was like, boom, and I go under. And I remember going down and up and down and up, and I'm just like doing like this, trying to, you know, get above the water. And every time I would come up, I would see my sister looking at me. Just a blank stare, her eyes are bulging out of her head, and I'm thinking, would you please save me? Because I'm dying, okay? And so I go down, and I go back up, and I go down, and I go back up, when all of a sudden, I hear, stand up! And I come up, I stand up, and Noni grabs my wrist. You see, when I think about that she made that seem very easy. When I think about the waves and what I experienced at Virginia Beach, and I think about this passage of scripture, I compare the winds and the waves to the storms of life that we sometimes face. They come, they hit us, they catch us off guard, we're not prepared for them, and we feel like they hit us and take us under, and you feel just like I did that day in Virginia Beach, like you're drowning. When those waves came at me all those years ago, fear kicked in, and it changed my perspective of the waves. The waves looked way bigger. They were huge. All I could see was the waves. I didn't think I had any options. I was just trying to figure out how I was going to survive because I thought I was literally dying. You see, fear is an issue that we have to deal with because, one, we know that fear doesn't come from God. Fear is an issue that we have to deal with because fear paralyzes us, fear zaps away our confidence, fear changes our perspective, and fear causes us to react, not to respond. And just like I did that day in Virginia Beach, fear causes you to look for a hero, someone to save you. In that moment in Virginia Beach, I was in the role of victim. I was in the role of victim. I was drowning. Nobody was saving me. My sister was just standing there looking at me. Those waves were coming. I was feeling overwhelmed. I couldn't see past the waves. I didn't have any options. I just thought that I was going to die. Now, I'm sure that we all have experienced in these relationships that we picture when we're talking about this series, where we have people who are being hit by these waves. They're experiencing these storms of life. And every time they feel like they come up for a breath of fresh air, another one comes. And they feel like they are overwhelmed, and they're telling you how they're drowning and how they just can't see past these winds and these waves. And the caring person that you are, you sympathize with them. And you're already thinking in your mind, okay, how can I fix this? How can I save them? Because you don't want to see them hurt. You don't want to see them go down the wrong path or in the wrong direction. You play the role of hero because you feel like they need you. They need me, so I got to figure this out for them. I get it, and I understand it because I play the role of hero quite a bit myself. But you know, when we play the role of hero, we tell ourselves a lie. And that lie is, you tell yourself that I'm not going to be a good friend, I'm not a good person if I don't come through for them. Oh, and this is a good one. This is the one that the enemy gets with me. You're not being loyal. You're not showing them how loyal you are if you don't come through, because if you come through and nobody else does, they're going to think you're this great person. The lie you tell yourself is that, oh, I'm not doing what God wants me to do if I don't save them. They need my help. The truth is, we are feeding our own selfish desires, the feeling of being needed. The truth is, we are trying to take the place of God by putting ourselves in that position to try to fix or solve this problem. The truth is, we don't have faith in them, the person that's in this relationship, let alone God, to figure it out. When we take the role of hero, the result is we are seeing them as victim. We are seeing them as incapable of figuring it out on their own. We're operating in fear, not faith, and we're doing them a disservice, and we're preventing that person from growing and being the person that God has created for them to be. It's like when we have kids. If I took my kids and I had them and I carried them everywhere they went, I would carry them to bed, I would pick them up, carry them to the bus stop, walk onto the bus, put them on their seat, ride with them to school, put them in the chair. If I carried them everywhere they went, they would never learn how to use the muscles that they have to be able to walk on their own. When we play the role of hero, we are participating in the drama. And there needs to be a shift that happens. If we're going to escape this drama triangle, we need to shift our thinking from hero to coach. And we don't need to see them as a victim, but we need to see them as an empowered servant. A shift must happen. So we're going to go to the scripture, because I believe that there are three things that we can adopt from Jesus' model. Because Jesus, he modeled what a coach looked like when he discipled the disciples. He had a way of showing them that they were capable of the impossible, and not because of who they were, but because of how great he is. So in this passage, there are three things that I think that we can adopt from Jesus' model. But before we do that, I want to tell you two facts. One, let me get a drink of water. The first thing is, God is all-knowing. He knows every single thing. He knows our beginning. He knows our ending. He knows every single detail. Nothing catches him by surprise. He's God. The second thing, the Sea of Galilee, where the Peter and disciples were, it had a history. It was known for sudden and violent storms. So I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus knew that when he told the disciples to get into the boat, to go to the other side, there is no doubt in my mind that he knew that they were about to face this storm. Yet, he tells them to get into the boat and go to the other side while he goes to pray. So verse 22 says, he made the disciples get in the boat to the other side while he goes up to pray. And it says that they were some distance away from land, and that they were being beaten by the winds and the waves, for the winds were against them. And he was praying. And verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, let me tell you what that means. In that time in the Roman military, they would divide the night into four watches, into increments of 3 hours. So that means if Jesus waited until the fourth watch to come to them, that means that he waited until the last, or what I like to say, the midnight hour, to come to them. Now, I'm sure the disciples, they felt time. They felt this length of time. They felt like he's never coming, or he couldn't come fast enough. And as heroes, the funny thing is, we feel time too. I have a friend of mine who's been walking through something with her husband for 2.5 years. And before I learned to adopt this series that we're doing, I felt I was with her every step of the way. And I was trying to figure out how I could help her. I was giving her my ideas. I'm like, this isn't working. We got to try something else. I got to figure out how I can save you. But when we step into that hero role and we feel ourselves trying to figure it out in our own strength and give them our ideas, we have to shift our thinking at that very moment. And the first thing that we must adopt from Jesus' model is we must shift our thinking from fear to faith by waiting on the Lord. By waiting on the Lord. Because Jesus, he didn't rescue them right away. He waited. And if you're a hero like me and you gravitate to that more than anything, you know that's the hardest thing you can tell me to do is wait. We have to wait. We can't approach anything, let alone our relationships, in fear. Nothing. We can't approach anything in fear because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to approach these relationships in faith. I asked my husband if I could give an example, and I actually was going to give a different one until yesterday. And I was like, oh, this is a good one. I got to change that one. He called me last week, and let me tell you something. When it comes to my baby, when it comes to my man, when it comes to my husband, I will fight somebody. If he, okay, or my kids, I will fight somebody. I know, come on now. When it comes to my husband, I would do whatever I can to save him. I don't want him to feel stressed. I don't want him to feel sad, anything. I'll do whatever I can by any means necessary. I'm known around my house for fixing stuff, okay? Now, anyway, so he calls me last week and he says, hey, we had a family issue going on. And he called me and he said, I don't even want to call you and tell you this because I know how you're going to react. He said, but I want to tell you because I'm bothered. And it hurt me. And for him to admit that, that's huge. And I was already thinking, oh, I'm going to call them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call them as soon as he get off the phone. Yep, I'm going to call them. And I knew that if I did that it was going to go left. It was going to go negative. But I didn't care. I was like, oh, I'm going to fix this because my baby, he is upset. His feelings are hurt. And I'm gonna fix it. So we get off the phone, and I remember what I was preaching. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna wait. And if you're like me, that pause and waiting is crucial. Because it's not second nature, you will naturally go back to what's comfortable. So you'll do what you've always done. So that pause, that waiting on the Lord is crucial. And so I waited. And do you know that yesterday that family member called me, and the very thing that I was going to tell them, they were like, well, the Lord told me. I'm like, now see, this is why you wait on the Lord. Because when he does it, you're not risking anything. When he does it so well. He allowed them to see something that I thought that I had to call them to see. And the Lord was like, if you just wait on me, no worries. I got it figured out. Wait on the Lord. I love Psalms 27:14 because it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. And the reason why we must wait for him, because it's not a matter of if he's going to come through. It's when he's going to come through. He will come through. You got to wait on the Lord. And if you're like me, you're already thinking, okay, well, all right, I'll wait. But what do I do while I'm in the waiting? You do just as Jesus did. He was able to go onto that mountaintop, and he was able to go and pray. So you wait on the Lord by praying, but you pray with confidence and anticipation. And instead of trying to operate in fear and figure things out on your own, you demonstrate your faith and confidence in God when you wait and you pray with confidence and anticipation. And while you're waiting, while you're praying, ask the Lord, Lord, what good do you have for me and them in this situation? Because he's not just working something out in them. He's working something out in you, too. Wait on the Lord. So Jesus comes to them on the water, and he comes to them, and they cried out in fear because they were afraid. And the thing that I thought about this is, you see, Jesus came to them, and he did something that was unfamiliar. It was unfamiliar. I'm sure as they were in this boat, they'd not think, okay, this is not how they envisioned God, Jesus coming and saving them. He comes out and he walks on the water and comes to them, and this was unfamiliar to them. And you see, when I think about the storms of life that we sometimes face and how we become overwhelmed and fearful, I think about how we try to work things out on our own. And when they don't look a certain way, we become fearful and we begin to doubt. When the people in our relationships operate in this fear, they can miss what God is doing and what God is saying and who he is. So when we find ourselves facing these relationships where people are like, you see them operating in fear and they're starting to doubt because God is doing something unfamiliar, I love what Jesus did in the moment when they cried out in fear. He reminded them of who he was. He said, it is I, Do not be afraid. And we can do that too. We can remind them of who he is by asking questions. In my personal relationships, I have, you know, I have my friends, you know, we talk and we share things that are going on in our life. And I see them going through this thing and they're trying to figure out, God, what is going on? It's going on too long. You know, God, they feel like God isn't working this thing out the way they want to. And I am famous for asking one question. And that is, what is the word of the Lord? What is the word of the Lord? And by asking them that question, it causes them to think a little bit deeper. It causes them to think a little bit deeper, and it allows them to hear what God is saying, because his word trumps ours every time. Remind them of who he is by asking them a question. What is the word of the Lord? Because sometimes we forget. And when we have the ability to remember what God said, it gives us the strength to keep going. And this is what happened to the disciples. They forgot what he said. Because in the beginning of this passage, verse 22, said he made them get into the boat to the other side. He made them get into the boat to the other side. So before they even experienced any waves, any storm, before they even stepped in the boat, he told them that indeed you will get to the other side. But they forgot that, because all they were focused on was the winds and the waves. And they missed, they forgot what God said. They forgot that they had just witnessed a huge miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. They probably had the leftovers in the boat. But yet, they were afraid and they doubted. How often do we all forget? How often do we forget when we become overwhelmed? You know, sometimes we forget that Jesus just healed us from cancer last year. Or we forget that last month he paid that water bill or that car payment or that mortgage payment. We forget that just on the way to church that we were almost hit by that car, but he spared our life. We forget and we become afraid and we doubt. We forget that he's already been good. We forget that he's already been faithful. We forget that he's already proven that he is a God of the impossible. But yet when we are overwhelmed by what we see, we forget how good he is and that he's already done it and he will do it again. He will do it again. When we have the ability to remember who he is and all he's done, and we remember those good things, we're able to trust him a little bit more. We're able to trust him a little bit more, like, okay, God, you did that, and it helps you to keep going. In your relationships, we need to encourage them. We need to remind them of who God is, not by telling them what you can do, by allowing them to reminding them of who he is and what he can do. Remind them of who he is. The last thing that we must adopt from Jesus' model is we must encourage them to get out of the boat by taking a step of faith. Encourage them to get out of the boat by taking a step of faith. I love this next verse, verse 28. It says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. How many times have we said, Lord, if it's you, give me a sign. If they blink two times and they touch me on my head, I know it's you. Lord, if you make this hair raise up on my head, I know it's you. I know it's you. How many times do we ask God to prove himself that he's God? And this is what Peter does. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. And Jesus says, come, come. So Peter comes on the water. And the moment he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried, Lord, save me. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't solve the problem, but he required Peter to do something. He required him to take a step of faith. He required him to step out of what was comfortable. And I love this because when he comes out into the water, it says he saw the winds and the waves and he was afraid. So that means that the storms didn't stop just because he came out. Just because he took a step of faith, that means the storms didn't stop coming. And I love how Jesus didn't say, now, Peter, listen to me. When you come out, those waves are going to come, so you're going to need to shift to the left because it's going to knock you out. He didn't say that. He said, step out. Come on, Peter. He didn't say anything. He calls him out, and he requires him to do something that he knows will not be easy. He calls him out, and he asks him to do something that he knew was going to be difficult. But the thing I love about God is when he took that step, whether he synced or not, Jesus immediately took his hand. He takes his hand in the middle of the storm. All he asks us to do is come. All he asks you to do is come to take that step of faith. And in the middle of the storm, he asks Peter a question. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And in that moment, I believe that, you know, Jesus doesn't provide the answer for Peter. He allows him to think a little bit deeper. And I believe in that moment, I'm sure Peter realized the exact reason why Jesus had him experience that storm. And that was because it was a greater purpose. He had a greater purpose. And Peter needed to know, before you get to the other side of what I have for you, I need to remind you that I am with you even in the middle of the storm, and that I always have my eyes on you at all times. First watch, second watch, third watch, don't worry, I'm looking. Just because I'm not physically in the boat with you, that does not mean that I don't have my eyes on you. I need you to know, Peter, that I am watching you at all times, and I am with you even in the storm. Before you get to the other side, Peter, of what I have for you, I need you to know to keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. You need to keep your eyes fixed on me. Peter, before you get to the other side of what I have for you, I need you to know that I am the God of the winds and the waves, and I command them to obey. At the sound of my name, they must bow. At the sound of my name, they must stop. At the sound of my name, peace be still. Peter, I need you to know that I am the God over the winds and the waves. Jesus knew in that very moment that it was necessary. He knew it was necessary for Peter to walk through the storm. He knew it was necessary. And he knows what he's doing in these relationships that we're facing, that we're experiencing drama. We're seeing them face storm wave after wave. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. We just have to encourage them to take that step of faith and let them know it's not going to be easy. Just take a step of faith, and he will meet you every single time. When I was overwhelmed by those waves all those years ago in Virginia Beach, I didn't realize that I wasn't drowning until Noni asked me to do something, until she required me to stand up. I had no idea that I wasn't drowning. I needed the help, yes, I needed the help, and somebody needed to help me, but Noni didn't come over and pick me up, scoop me up. She didn't come to my rescue in that way. She allowed me to see that I could do it. She allowed me to see that I could stand up on my own. She allowed me to see that I was taller than the waves. If I would just take a step of faith, if I would just stand up, she let me know that I could do it myself. In our relationships, we need a coach just like Noni. Because a coach, they see the bigger picture. You only can see what's right in front of you, but they can see the bigger picture. They believe in you, and they know that you have the power, you have the resources within yourself to be able to stand taller than these waves. If we want to escape this drama, if we want to stop going over and over and around with this drama, we have to be willing, if we want our relationships to change, we have to change. And we do that by shifting from hero to coach. No longer are we driven by fear, but we're driven by faith and knowing that God can do it. No longer is it about what I can do, but it's about what God can do. No longer am I seeing them as incapable and as a victim, but I am seeing them as capable, as an empowered servant. It's not about what I want, but it's about what God wants. It's about what his purpose and what he's trying to do in and through them. Jesus demonstrated in this passage that he is the Lord over the winds, the waves, the water, and the sea. And he commands them to obey. The question is, do you believe that he can do that in your relationships? Do you believe that he can do that for you to the point where you don't have to try to take control? You don't have to try to fix things on your own. And you're not operating in faith, but you're operating in fear. And if you're not operating in fear, you're operating in faith. And you know that God can do it. Yes. Do you believe that he can do that in your relationships? Yes. This morning, we're going to sing a song because I believe that there are several people that God wanted me to point out this morning. And the first one is, yes, you play the role of hero quite a bit, just like me. And the Lord wants to know, you hear him dealing with you on your lack of faith. And he wants to know, will you trust him in every area of your life, even in your relationships? Will you trust him? Will you not operate in fear, but operate in faith? And will you believe that he is the God over the winds and the waves and the relationships that you have? The second person I feel that you can identify with the winds and waves and the whole drowning and trying to catch your breath, trying to get above the waves, because you feel like that's you. And you feel like every time you come up and you get a breath of fresh air, another one comes. And you feel like you're literally drowning. And you're here and you're like, I need a coach. I need somebody to remind me of who God is. I need somebody to walk with me as I take this step of faith. Because you don't know how to do that. If you would bow your heads this morning, I want to invite our elders and those who have been asked to pray to come forward. Because I believe your coaches are right here this morning. They're here this morning. And they want to encourage you. They want to remind you of who your God is. They want to remind you that what the storms that you're facing, they're not too big. They're not too big for God. And he commands them to obey. They're here to encourage you and to stand with you as you take that step of faith. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I also believe that there's a third group here. I believe that third group is that you've been experiencing these storms. You've experienced them before, you're experiencing them now, and you've tried to play your own rescuer, your own hero, your own coach, because you've tried to do it without God. And you've never asked him to be Lord of your life and to come into your heart. And I'm telling you now, the only way that we can make it through these storms, the only way that he gives us the strength to do that is because we're doing it with him. But without him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So I want to ask you a question. Peter had to take a step of faith. Jesus required him to do something that he knew wasn't going to be easy. And this morning, I believe it's going to take a step of faith for you to lift your hands this morning and to acknowledge your need for Christ. But I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith this morning. And if you are one, if you are number one, I want to pray with you this morning. Would you raise your hands this morning? If you're number one and God is dealing with you in your lack of faith, okay? Would you put your hands down? If you're number two and you feel like that's me, I'm facing storms and I'm feeling overwhelmed and I feel like I'm drowning and I feel like I can't catch my breath. And I need a coach. I need somebody who's going to encourage me to take a step of faith. Would you raise your hands this morning? I want to pray for you as well. Okay. Amen. You can put your hands down. And if you're number three and you've tried to play your own hero, your own coach, and you've tried to do it without God in your life, and you know that this morning you need to take a step of faith, that it's not going to be easy, but you admit that you're a sinner and that you need to give your life to Christ this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hands this morning? Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you that you are the God of the impossible, that there is nothing too difficult for you. Lord, we put all of our faith in you because you've proven yourself to be faithful over and over again. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, Father. You never fail us. So, Father, I just ask that you would just help us with our lack of faith, Lord, that you would help us to trust you more and more, that we would no longer doubt, that we would remember the good things that you've done, that you've already been faithful. And when the enemy comes in and he tries to plant things in our minds and to cause us to think that we can't trust you, we come against that right now in the name of Jesus, because we know you are good, you are faithful, and that you can do it and you will come through. So, Father, we lay every concern at your feet. We lay every relationship at your feet, and we're saying we trust you. We have faith in you. And Lord, I pray for that person who's feeling overwhelmed this morning. God, I thank you that, Lord, that you are with us in the storm. That, Father, you, this is just a bridge. This is something you're using to get us to be the person that you have created us to be. You are molding us and shaping us. And I'm thankful that even in the storm, you are with us. No matter how crazy that storm is, you are with us. So, Father, I just thank you that that everyone who raised their hand for that, Lord, that they would sense your peace like never before. That they would sense your presence. Even if chaos is going on around them, Lord, they would sense your presence. They would know that you are there with them. And that you are protecting them, God. And that your purpose will be revealed. And God, I thank you for that person who raised their hand and they took that step of faith. Even though they knew, God, it wasn't going to be easy. But God, I thank you that as they took that step, you're right here to greet them. So God, I pray that you would be with them. I thank you that they recognize their need for you because we can do nothing without you. Father, I'm so thankful that you sent your one and only son to die for us, that you thought that we were worth it. So, Father, I just thank you right now. If you raise your hand for one, two, or three, our elders are here and they are coaches of the church and they want to encourage you. They want to remind you of how good our God is. They want to remind you who he is and they want to stand with you as you take that step of faith. Would you stand this morning? We're just going to worship. We're going to sing this last song. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you to come. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. Yes, people are looking at you, but take a step of faith and come because Jesus is right here to take your hand.